Who here has read the children's classic Black Beauty? A few hands. If you haven't, Black Beauty is the story of a beautiful black horse who was employed for a season by Jerry Barker, a cab driver who provided horse-drawn cab rides in London during the late 1800s. One morning, as Jerry just put Black Beauty into the shafts and was fastening the traces, a gentleman walked into the yard. "Your servant, sir," said Jerry. "Good morning, Mr. Barker," said the gentleman. "I should be glad to make some arrangements with you for taking Mrs. Briggs regularly to church on Sunday mornings. We go to the new church now, and that is rather further than she can walk." "Thank you, sir," said Jerry. "But I have only taken out a 6 days license, and therefore I could not take a fare on Sunday. It would not be legal." "Oh," said the other, "I did not know yours was a 6 days cab. But of course it would be very easy to alter your license. I would see that you did not lose by it. The fact is, Mrs. Briggs very much prefers you to drive her." "I should be glad to oblige the lady, sir, but I had a 7 days license once, and the work was too hard for me, and too hard for my horses. Year in and year out, not a day's rest, and never a Sunday with my wife and children, and never able to go to a place of worship, which I had always been used to do before I took the driving box. So for the last 5 years, I have only taken a 6 days license, and I find it better all the way around." "Well, of course," replied Mr. Briggs, "it is very proper that every person should have rest and be able to go to church on Sundays. But I should have thought you would not have minded such a short distance for the horse. And only once a day, you would have all the afternoon and evening for yourself. And we are very good customers, you know." "Yes, sir, that is true. And I am grateful for all favors, I am sure, and anything I could do to oblige you or the lady, I should be proud and happy to do. But I can't give up my Sundays, sir. Indeed, I can't. I read that God made man, and he made horses and all the other beasts, and as soon as he had made them, he made a day of rest, and bade that all should rest 1 day in seven. And I think, sir, he must have known what was good for them. And I'm sure it is good for the horses are fresh too and do not wear up nearly so fast. The 6 day drivers all tell me the same, and I have laid by more money in the savings bank than ever I did before. And as for the wife and children, sir, why, heart alive, they would not go back to the 7 days for all that they could see." Sunday, the Christian Sabbath. A day designed by God for rest and for worship. And yet how the world pressures us to forsake the day of rest. Oh, it's a short distance for you and for the horses. You'd have the rest of the afternoon and evening to yourself. I can pay for your 7 days license, no problem. I will make it worth your while. After all, we're good customers, right? Hint, 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 hint. The world pressures us to give up our Sabbath. And the question that we need to ask and answer is this: is it ever right to forsake a day of rest? Are there situations, are there circumstances in which it is right, it is good? Because you see, situations arise. And not long after standing his ground with Mr. Briggs, Jerry Barker was faced with a fresh dilemma. A few weeks later, again on a Sunday, Jerry was cleaning Black Beauty in the yard when Polly, Jerry's wife, stepped up to him looking very full of something. "What is it?" said Jerry. "Well, my dear," she said, "poor Dinah Brown has just had a letter brought to say that her mother is dangerously ill and that she must go directly if she wishes to see her alive. The place is more than 10 miles away from here, out in the country. And she says if she takes the train, she should still have 4 miles walk. And so weak as she is, and the baby only 4 weeks old, of course, that would be impossible. And she wants to know if you would take her in your cab. And she promises to pay you faithfully as she can get the money. With a firm commitment to Sabbath keeping on the one hand, and only a 6 days license on the other, what was Jerry to do? What would you do? Would you take the job to help a friend in need, see her dying mother one last time? Or would you stand your ground again and again cite the fourth commandment that the Lord knows best what both horses and men need? What would you do? Better yet, what would Jesus do? Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. In essence, what we are asking again is this: are there legitimate exceptions to the command to do no work on the Sabbath? That is the question that hangs over our text this morning, and that is the question that we will seek to answer this morning from our text. And so I would invite you to take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 14, and stand with me now as I read verses 1 to 6. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Thank you. You may be seated. Notice how Jesus asks two questions here. In verse 3, he asks the lawyers and the Pharisees if it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not. And then in verse 5, he asks them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" The point of contact between these two questions has to do with acts of mercy being done on the Sabbath. Much like providing a cab ride for Dinah Brown, whose mother was dangerously ill and near to death. It is mercy to heal. It is mercy to pull your son or your ox out of a well. And it is mercy to give a cab ride to a woman whose mother is dying. And the question of our text is this: can these things be lawfully done on the Sabbath? And what's of particular interest in this text is the silence that greets each question that Jesus asks. After his first question, verse 4 tells us that the lawyers and the Pharisees remained silent. After his second question, verse 6 tells us that they could not reply to these things. In other words, there was more silence. Why was there silence? Well, let's look at each question and see if we can't determine why there was silence. First, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? That's Jesus' first question. And as Leon Morris observes, it was an awkward question for the Pharisees to answer. According to the rabbinic regulations, it certainly was not lawful. Healing could take place on the Sabbath only when there was danger to life. In this case, the man would probably not have died if the case had been stood over until sundown. In fact, in chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, not a month ago, we looked at a text where the ruler of the synagogue said, "Come back tomorrow and get healing." That was their perspective. If it's not a grave matter today, it can wait till tomorrow. If it is life and death, okay, maybe we can have a healing. Otherwise, no. And so to agree to healing under these circumstances could lead to an accusation that these Pharisees were soft on law enforcement. And so they didn't want to answer that way. But on the other hand, lawful might mean contained in the law of Moses. There is nothing in Scripture to forbid such healing. It was the rabbinic interpretation of Scripture that was the source of the rule, and these guys knew it. And so to insist publicly on this interpretation might lead to a charge of indifference to human suffering. And so you can begin to see why there was silence. They're thinking, if we answer this way, people are going to think we're soft on law enforcement. If we answer this way, they're going to say we're heartless. And so, crickets. We understand the silence, and we also understand now why Jesus asked the question that he did. He wanted to get everyone thinking about the law of Moses, that is, the Bible, and not just the laws of the Pharisees. After all, as John MacArthur notes, the Talmud, the written record of the Pharisees' teaching, devotes 24 chapters to Sabbath regulations, describing in painfully exhaustive detail what was and was not permitted to be done. The result was a ridiculously complex system of external behavior restraints, so much so that one rabbi spent 2.5 years studying just one of the 24 chapters. Imagine that was your year. Yay! For example, traveling more than 3,000 feet from home was forbidden. But if one had placed food at the 3,000-foot point before the Sabbath, that point would then be considered a home since there was food there and would allow another 3,000 feet of travel. Similarly, a piece of wood or rope placed across the end of a narrow street or alley constituted a doorway. That could then be considered the front door of one's house and permit the 3,000 feet of travel to begin there afresh. There were also regulations about carrying items. Something lifted up in public could only be set down in private, and vice versa. An object tossed into the air could be caught with the same hand, but if it was caught with the other hand, it would be a Sabbath violation. If a person had reached out to pick up food when the Sabbath began, the food had to be dropped. To bring the arm back while holding the food would be to carry a burden on the Sabbath. After all, it was forbidden to carry anything heavier than a dried fig, though something weighing half as much could be carried two times. A tailor could not carry his needle, a scribe his pen, or students their books. Only enough ink to write two letters of the alphabet could be carried. A letter could not be sent, not even with a non-Jew. Clothes could not be examined or shaken out before being put on because an insect might be killed in the process, and that would be work. No fire could be lit or put out. Cold water could be poured into warm water, but not warm into cold. An egg could not be cooked, not even by placing it in hot sand during the summer. Nothing could be sold or bought. Bathing was forbidden, lest water be spilled on the floor and wash it. Moving a chair was not allowed, since it might make a rut in a dirt floor, which would be too much like plowing. And women were forbidden to look in a mirror, since if they saw a white hair, they might be tempted to pull it out. On and on and on the list went. Whenever anyone asked what could or could not be done on the Sabbath, the Pharisees had an answer, which is what makes their silence here all the more impressive. You see, they had a ready answer. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Their answer, well, it depends. Is it a matter of life and death? Yes? Okay. No? No. They had an answer, but they wouldn't give it. Why? Because Jesus' question got them thinking of the law of Moses, of what we find in our Bibles. And none of their regulations are found there. If we think of the Sabbath law as it's found in our Bibles, what do we read? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. There's your law right there. Don't work, rest. And what I love about the Sabbath command as God gives it is this. He doesn't define the word work for us. He figures that we know what work is and what work is not. And so the question we need to ask is this. Is it work to show mercy? And I think the right answer is this. It shouldn't be. Even if it requires physical exertion, it shouldn't be work to show mercy. It should be second nature to the believer in Jesus Christ. And if any question remains in your mind as to whether or not it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath, then let that question evaporate in the face of verse 4. There we see Jesus, the perfect law keeper, look at the man who had dropsy, heal him, and send him on his way. In fact, Jesus made a habit of healing on the Sabbath day. We saw this a month ago when we looked at Luke 13, verses 10 to 17. We saw this a little over a year ago when we looked at Luke 6, verses 6 to 11. We saw it even earlier in our study of Luke when we looked at Luke 4, verses 38 and 39. And the Gospel of John provides even more accounts of Jesus healing on the Sabbath that don't line up with these accounts. In other words, Jesus healed on the Sabbath again and again and again and again. And he did so to make a point. It is altogether lawful to show mercy on the Sabbath. In fact, not only is it lawful, not only can you show mercy on the Sabbath, you ought to show mercy on the Sabbath. It is good. It is right. It is pleasing to the Lord. That, I think, is what Jesus is driving at with the second question he asks. Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? As Daryl Bach observes, Jesus' rhetorical question expects a positive reply. Of course they would assist a son or an ox in danger. A son, for obvious reasons, he's my son. And an ox because of the financial cost of replacing it. But even more than that, it wasn't just, well, because I got to. It just wouldn't be right for me to leave my son in the pit. The Pharisees' own elaborate Sabbath regulations permitted such, and Deuteronomy 22, verse 4, all but commanded such. According to Deuteronomy 22, verse 4, You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen down by the way and ignore them. You shall help him to lift them up again. And so if you are to help your brother when his ox falls down, regardless of what day it is, right? There's no footnote here, unless, of course, your brother's ox happens to fall on a Sabbath day, in which case all bets are off and you can just let him struggle with it on himself. No. If you are to help your brother lift up his ox when it falls down, regardless of the day, then it is altogether right for you to help yourself when your own ox falls in a well on the Sabbath day. In fact, don't be surprised if your brother comes along to help you because of Deuteronomy 22, verse 4. And if it's right to show this kind of mercy on the Sabbath, then Jesus says it is right to show all kinds of mercy on the Sabbath. If we return again to the story of Black Beauty, and to Jerry Barker's dilemma about whether or not to provide a cab ride for Dinah Brown to see her dangerously ill mother before she dies, we see that Jerry's wife, Polly, understood what Jesus was getting at. Let me take you back to that novel for a moment and to the conversation that Jerry was having with his wife. It was not the money I was thinking about, but of losing our Sunday. The horses are tired, and I'm tired too. That's where it pinches. It pinches all round, for that matter, said Polly. For it's only half Sunday without you. But you know, we should do to other people as we should like they should do to us. And I know very well what I should like if my mother was dying. And Jerry, dear, I am sure it won't break the Sabbath. For if pulling a poor beast or donkey out of a pit would not spoil it, I am quite sure taking poor Dinah would not do it. Why, Polly, Jerry responded, you are as good as the minister. And so, as I've had my Sunday morning sermon early today, you may go and tell Dinah that I will be ready for her as the clock strikes 10. And all God's people reading Black Beauty erupt into praise at that morning because they made the right decision. No, if it's just a matter of getting another fare on a Sunday, don't do it. But if it's a matter of showing mercy, compassion to someone who is hurt and needing, then by all means, do it. As Norvell Geldinghus says, Jesus' words and actions teach us quite plainly that we should, every Lord's Day, place ourselves wholly at His disposal to perform works of love and mercy wherever and in whatever way it may be possible. We must not consecrate the day of rest in a merely passive manner, but must be active in His service and thus, through Him, be of use to those who suffer and need help spiritually as well as physically. So, can you think of someone who could use your help today? If so, then you have a holy mission to accomplish, which in no way violates God's design for the Sabbath day. Philip Ryken put it this way, Christ calls us to have a heart of compassion. And as the Lord of the Sabbath, He has given us a day to show mercy. The Lord's Day is for visiting the sick. It is for welcoming strangers, especially internationals, he says. It is for helping people worship in the nursing home. It is for hosting the homeless to dinner. It is for giving fatherly care to orphans. It is for taking time to counsel friends who need encouragement. It is a day for giving all the service to God that we are unable to give on the rest of the week. In addition to giving us a day for rest, then, the Lord has also given us a great day for the gospel. Not just preaching it, Jesus Christ crucified and risen to save lost sinners, but also for practicing it through loving deeds of mercy. Do you know the real reason, I think, why the Pharisees could not reply to Jesus' second question? because they didn't have a heart of mercy for the man with dropsy. They had a category in their law that allowed them to help an ox out of the ditch on the Sabbath day. They could even quote Deuteronomy 22:4 to that effect, which is far firmer ground than their own interpretations. They had everything they needed in their arsenal to care for domestic animals, but their hearts were not moved with compassion when they looked at this man that was before Jesus in dire need and suffering. The question is, do you have a heart of compassion for those who are in dire need and suffering? And if you do, what will you do about it? Both the Westminster Confession of Faith and the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith state that the Sabbath is to be kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe and wholly rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercise of his worship. And, get this, in the duties of necessity and mercy. In other words, not only are we allowed to do works of mercy on the Sabbath, we are required to do works of mercy on the Sabbath. They are a duty. So what works of mercy will you do today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for a day of rest that you have granted to us, that we can set aside to refresh our minds and bodies and to worship you. Oh Lord, may we not hand that day away cavalierly. May we recognize the great gift that it is to us. But may we not also hard-heartedly dig in our heels and say no when a brother or sister or anyone in need for that matter could use our help on the Sabbath day. Father, may we have hearts that are primed to help, to show mercy wherever and whenever we see the opportunity. And may you receive all glory, honor, and praise as we do so, Father, in Jesus' name.